everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about a cool new episode, Room 33, which I don't need to tell you which room that is. I know you already know. So without further ado, let me introduce Miss Shadow Lovely and Slowbeef. Hey, team, what's good? Yeah, you know Room 33, right?
That's my favorite. Lucky number. Yeah, I love that room. It's my favorite.
It's actually
like a Jim Carrey movie, I think.
It's actually my favorite number because of the room in this season of American Horror Story Hotel, which I know very intimately, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All of us, like, even before the episode started, we saw the title and we're like, oh, shit, Room 33. That's where the magic happens. you know?
Yeah, I definitely knew what happened in this room and wasn't completely blindsided by the reveal, even though I've already seen this season. Yes, definitely.
Room 33, someone's fucked now. Exactly my thoughts. Yep.
Oh, well, my God.
This episode is crazy as hell, and I don't know. I think it sucks a lot. I'll be honest. I think it sucks a lot. I think it's got a lot of bad messaging, and I think they're so dumb they don't even know they did it. That's the worst part. It's like watching someone like bumble into being racist. You're like, no. How do you do that on accident?
and like, not only is it a bad episode, but like also in the scope of the season, they throw a plot device, and it can only be referred to as a plot device, even though it's a living creature, but they throw a plot device in that, like, radically shifts the dynamic of almost every single character in relationship to another character, and also would, I don't know, probably have been mentioned before now in regards to a very important character that has been in the show since episode one, and it will be introduced as, like, the crux of that character's whole deal. Like, the whole reason for being and, like, the entire motivation. And it's like, well, it's a little weird that it hasn't come up until now. Or even been hinted at. But, okay, American Horror Story, whatever.
You know what you're doing. Clearly.
Yeah, you've never led us astray before, American Horror Story.
Women love forgetting their reason to live for like weeks at a time and then being like, oh shit, right. Oh yeah, the thing I do. Oh man, that's so embarrassing for me that I forgot I have this weird baby. Well, anyway, it's this episode leads in with a flashback. You can tell because it looks bad.
It really does. Like they didn't even put a filter over it. They just desaturated the shot. It looks so bad. It's like maybe one of the worst flashbacks they've done. Of like me being like, is this my TV being bad, or like is this a flashback? And then like a quarter of the way through it, they slap a 1926 like title card on it. It's like, oh, okay, this is supposed to be a long time ago. They just cranked the saturation down to like 13%. We're like, this is what flashbacks look like. This is what it looked like in 1926.
It's like they didn't know video editing software could do black and white, you know? And they're like, I think we kind of can get it if you squint, you know? And it's just like, yeah, it looks terrible.
To their credit, last time they did black and white was James March's flashback. And you couldn't see shit during that. So maybe they were like, we can't do that again.
Leave a little color grading in there. It's not that old. It's only the 20s. Don't be ridiculous.
I'll fix it in editing like it's a YouTube series, except it's a freaking professional TV production. So what the hell are we doing here? You have you can ask, I'm sure.
One that is on its fifth season, so surely is getting a fairly decent amount of funding from somewhere, I would think.
At least $100. Like, a minimum $100.
Yeah. So it's 1926.
Yeah, and Lady Gaga shows up at this doctor's office and is here to get abortion.
No, she shows up at the murder house, not a doctor's office. This is not establishment.
Right, I forgot. She shows up at murder. I was like so... I didn't give a shit about them being like, look, like season one. I'm like, I don't care, man. Like you can have your characters teleport wherever. That's the magic of television. can just say they're in the Caribbean. I believe you.
But shared,
so like, who cares?
Shared universe, you know, but.
Like, I would assume most shows do that. Yeah, like SpongeBob season 3 is still in the same universe as SpongeBob season 1. I assume that's default behavior. So it's really weird when they're like, hey, check it out. We did multiple seasons. What do you think of this?
Yeah.
And so she's going to get an abortion, and the doctor asks, like, oh, how far along are you? And she says, oh, 3 weeks. And then they like do this big spooky reveal of her like lowering her robe and she's just like hellaciously pregnant. Like she's like, you know, 8.5 months.
Yeah.
Showing more or less. And then the doctor's just kind of like, huh, must have had a big burrito.
I don't know, like anything. Like, what the hell?
And
you know,
to make it like weirder, like, yeah, like we're TLDRing what's happening, but like, I have to like overstate that when she does this reveal, they make her do that set of actions in the opposite order, which you might be thinking, well, that doesn't seem right. That seems really weird and awkward and clunky. Like, because it is. Like, she has a big coat on, and then he's like, how pregnant are you? And she does not answer at first. And then she reveals her big ass stomach, and then she goes 3 weeks, which like we know is like, oh, that's weird, it must be like a vampire thing, but like to this dude who just does abortions in his basement from season one, he probably would just think she's lying because of the way that she's presented the information. Like, it just seems like she just made up a number. She's like, look at my big belly, 3 weeks. You don't believe me, do you? Like, if she had done it the other way and been like 3 weeks and then had to reveal that her stomach was really big, it wouldn't seem like she was just making up a bullshit number off the top of her head. But like, because they made her do it backwards for whatever fucking reason, it just seems like she's fucking with the doctor. But like, to us, they want us to be like, oh, we know it's, there must be something weird about vampires. I've seen Twilight. I know that vampire pregnancies happen at like 500 times the normal speed. I don't even know if that's like a vampire thing in other mythos.
I've never heard of that.
Twilight's
the only one I've ever heard that like vampires could even get pregnant, and like even like vampires having sex is kind of like a sort of like, does that happen? Who the hell cares? They're too busy with blood, you know.
It happens because it's cool, and we all agree on that. But like, as far as like mythologically, I don't know.
I think vampire and ball cells start with V for a reason. Okay, that's all I'm saying here. Okay, but
if like I don't have a lot of reference to like point to whether this is true or not. The only other time I can think of this is like Castlevania. But
Okay.
But like, it's usually like a human and a vampire. Like,
Yeah.
Castlevania, for the record, it turns out Gucci, with the exception of his son does come kill him eventually, but like his son is cool and hot.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
And they're usually called like Dampiers or something. Like if that's even in like D&D, is if there's like a half human, half vampire, like there can be babies, but like the parent who gives birth has to be a human. I don't think that's what's happening here. I think the implication is just that the options are either she fucked James March when he was alive and he was a human and she was a vampire, which maybe, or it's 1926. I didn't pay attention to when he died. I could literally scroll up in our notes and find it, but I don't care that much.
No, don't do that.
And the other option is it's a ghost vampire baby, which that's like a whole nother can of worms. Ghost vampire baby, whole nother problem, I think.
Which, for what it's worth, Ghost Vampire Baby would justify the next thing the doctor says, because as they take her into the operating theater, the nurse he has with him, because I guess he has a nurse in his
abortion clinic
that's like extremely against law, sure, whatever, man. And she's just like, hey, this lady's body temperature is like 70 degrees. You said she was 3 weeks pregnant, is this like, is that good? And he's like, I don't know. Give me the big knife.
You know, actually, what
sounds scary.
What pisses me off about this scene too is she's like, she said, like, that's weird. The temperature's 70 degrees. He's like, you idiot. The thermometer is like off. And it's like, hey, her whole fucking job is to tell you something weird is going to happen, you know, is happening. Like, that's like, and also she says it's weird. Like, don't own her. She's trying to fucking help you, you idiot.
Big, I hate my fucking bitch wife energy, but about my coworker. My coworker who's my nurse.
Who's doing, like, exactly her job correctly. Like, hey, weird shit's going on. This is the temperature. You moron, that's impossible. Anyway, on to my 3-week pregnancy. Like, what the fuck?
And so he declares, give me the big knife, which is, next note you have down says, I don't think this guy is a real doctor, which, yeah, I'll be real. If a guy says, it's cleaving time, probably not the guy you want operating on you.
This guy overall, like this whole experience that's going to transpire is what I would describe as maybe not the worst situation to have an abortion in, but like definitely one of the worst. Like from start to finish, this whole interaction with this character, like we already know he's crazy because he's the guy from season one who like had his own fucked up evil baby that lived in the basement with his ghost wife,
and he was terrible. He was terrible at his job then, too, right?
He was huffing opium, which I think he might be doing now. Also, I wasn't paying attention really.
I think it was ether. Yeah.
Ether.
Yeah. So like, because the thing is, Lady Gaga goes to get an abortion, and this guy with a 3-week pregnancy that's clearly already like having problems and problematic. This guy is so bad at being a doctor that he successfully delivers the child, comma, and kills a nurse, which is like unbelievable. That's not like hero surgery where it's like, oh, I accidentally cut my assistant's finger off while I was amputating a guy's leg. Like, well, how do you even do that, man?
That's the thing. It's like, we keep saying 3-week pregnancy because we know she's a vampire. He doesn't know she's a vampire. So if he has ever done anything even remotely associated with medical school or even maybe even cracked a book one time, he knows that at best, from his POV, she is 8 to 9 months pregnant and is lying, which means you wouldn't just go in like he does, like you would go to deliver the baby, which is what he does. He's like, well, time to deliver this baby. I'm like, I don't think that's what she signed up for. Like, let's say he maybe is just like, oh, well, I know she's lying and that's a full-term baby and I'm going to get in there either way. Like, he goes about it a real weird way if that was his plan. Like, he goes about it like he's like, well, time to deliver this baby that I know for sure is not 3 weeks long. And it causes
that's
the nurse to get eaten.
That's really the weirdest part is she's like, yeah, I'm 3 weeks pregnant and already like this, but that would mean like nowhere near delivery time probably, which would be like a big problem. But he's like, you're probably ready to deliver, and then gets down there, and the baby's just kind of like, oh, I notice I've shifted 90 degrees. Game time.
Yeah, like, get me out of
gets
here.
Gets to the exit, gets fucking queued up, and yeah, as the nurse is like looking down, the vampire baby rockets out of the coochie and just like gets a nurse.
It literally does that. That's not an over-exaggeration. It shoots out of there like a missile and attacks the nurse. It kills the nurse, just like flies out of Lady Gaga, who's knocked out, by the way. She's like passed out during this. Flies out of Lady Gaga, eats the nurse, I guess. And then it cuts to Lady Gaga waking up from the anesthesia. And the doctor, who just watched his nurse get fucking eviscerated by this missile baby, hands the baby, who I guess is like, I hated that nurse, but you seem chill, to
I'm
the doctor.
Now.
Yeah. Hands her the swaddled infant to be like, and says, congratulations, it's a boy. I'm like, you are the worst abortion doctor ever. Ever. Like a million percent.
Didn't think you could get a score of -1 on abortions, but fucking here we are.
Yeah, like this lady literally showed up to be like, I need an abortion. And you're like, what if I gave you your baby and delivered it like a regular doctor? Literally the antithesis of the thing that I do for a living.
Bonus, you've got scabies from being here.
You got scabies and my nurse is dead. Your baby ate my nurse. Again, he's just a regular guy who huffs ether. He watched his nurse get fucking obliterated by a 28 Days of Night baby and was like, well, I was supposed to abort this thing, and it did just kill my nurse. I bet this lady that I don't know is a vampire probably wants it. Like, I'm not going to kill it to, like, save the rest of the planet and save her, since it clearly is a monster that is on a killing spree. She probably has decided she wants the baby now, and because it's American Horror Story and they cannot help themselves but stumble into weird, like, pro-life rhetoric every single time they get the opportunity, Lady Gaga does now want the baby because she's seen it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, I want the baby, actually. I want to be a mom, and I shouldn't have gotten that abortion.
Yeah. And spoilers, because it's like the most obvious thing in the world. And if you're watching along, you already know this, is they keep obfuscating the face of the baby and hiding it. So it's like, OK, so the baby's going to be like super fucked up. Right. It is. I'll just tell you now, it is. So Lady Gaga having this like gut reaction of like, oh, no, now that I've been around the baby smell, I need the baby. He smells like dirty lavenders or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Not even just like this is a baby that like got fucked up. Like, this is like a monster baby. Like, it's clearly a monster baby. It has like,
right.
Like, it has like too many mouths.
It has, yeah,
like,
it has
that
a Demogorgon
kind of
mouth.
Level of monster baby.
This
yeah.
thing eats people like, and has fully black eyes. Like, it definitely is only alive to kill people and other living creatures. That's all it's here to do. Which is strange, given that all the other vampires are just normal people. They don't even have fangs or anything. That's why Lady Gaga has to use the stupid little finger knife that she likes to use. This one, I guess if you have sex with a ghost and you're a vampire, it comes out an abomination against Christ. I don't know. But that's what it is. We don't find out till the end of the episode, but like Ty said, it's so obvious because it did fly out of her cooch and maul a nurse. It's very obvious that this is a monster baby.
Liz, that's a great point. Regular babies don't do that normally. they don't kill the nurse when they get delivered.
They might want to. They just don't have the wherewithal nor the skill set necessary in order to fully go through with it.
Yeah, they can't even walk yet, let alone fly. You know?
And again, somehow this means that doctor somehow wrangled this nightmare creature. Like, and it chilled out and was like,
hey,
okay.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
Cut it out. Stop that. Come on. No, put that down.
He's just swatting it with like a rolled up newspaper and spraying it with a little spritz bottle. Like, hey, cut that shit out. And then again, he hands her the baby. Even if it wasn't a monster baby who just killed his nurse, why would you, the abortion doctor, hand the baby to the mother who came and said she didn't want the baby? Why would you, spoiler alert, if you deliver a baby at a hospital and you say, I don't want that baby, American Horror Story would have you believe they still bring you the baby, even though you have requested to not see it. They won't. They will start the process of trying to find a safe place for the baby to get taken care of and like getting it into the system or whatever. They will not be like, no, we're going to force you. This definitely won't have any negative ramifications, and we believe you won't hurt this baby. Like, they do not try to make you integrate with the baby. I would think that maybe if the hospital knows to do that, that the guy who lives under his own house to do abortions would maybe also have a similar idea.
He loves
idea.
Killing babies. That's like his whole thing.
And this is now the second woman in this season alone. God forbid we even discuss all the other times it's happened in every other season of this show. But in this season.
And spinoff.
Yeah, and spinoff. Yeah. In this season alone, we have now a second female character who was like, I don't want a baby. And then they get a baby and they're like, I was wrong. I've always wanted a baby. My whole life is now all about this baby. Nothing is more important than this baby. And actually, I did not have a purpose in life, nor a motivation as a character, nor a woman until this baby existed. Ta-da! Thanks, American Horror Story. It's so weird that they keep stumbling into this one specific talking point.
And there's, like, other details about it that are repeated, too, which is really weird. Like, in season one, remember the gay couple they had where mm-hmm. they're like, we just want a baby that's going to be a baby forever because we also just want to be a mother, I guess. And so they're like, they're like the idealized form. Every parent's dream is to just deal with a literal baby or toddler forever, which, and I've said this before, I'm sure, is the last thing most of the people I know who are parents would want is being in baby town for eternity.
It's cute and great for like a week. And then it's like, man, I can go for some sleep. Where's that cryopod?
Like this one specifically, because this one is like specifically set on newborn every day for the rest of its life. Like newborns, notably fragile, feeble, like little guys who, because like we talked about it when it happened last time, when they were talking about the forever baby last time, of I think you would eventually end up with a boss baby situation. I jokingly call this baby boss baby in the notes from this point on, just so you're aware, because we don't find out its name until like halfway through the episode. So it's called boss baby. But like realistically, if you had an immortal baby, they would eventually learn like to talk. And you would have a boss baby situation.
Can I just flex my very rare boss baby intimate knowledge from having seen it a few hundred
please,
times?
Please, slow beef.
You don't find out boss baby's name until the end of the movie, actually. So.
Yo!
They know they have a quality reveal.
The plot twist.
It's a plot twist.
His name something wild like Jerboa or something.
He kind of makes fun of his brother. It's like he makes fun of his brother for having, I think it's a middle name that's like a girl's name or whatever. And then it turns out he has it too. It's like one of those things like you find at the end, like, see what you did there. Okay, boss baby, you know.
Oh my God. I'm glad that American Horror Story
so
decided to rip
baby
off
like
boss
Succession?
Baby. Yeah. Yes.
Don't get me started. I will go into it, man. Don't do it.
Yeah, we'll have to do that for a Patreon episode. This is a full Boss Baby recap.
Boss Baby versus Succession. God. I'll represent the Succession side, and Slow Beef can represent Boss Baby.
I'll be an unbiased moderator.
We need multiple because they redo the canon for the Netflix series, and then they undo it for the sequel. Anyway, I'm sorry. Anyway, so murder.
So John, we cut to John waking up back at the Hotel Cortez, and in one of the most incredible moves of hater energy, Holden's just like next to him in bed, like he's just been lying there waiting for John to wake up, like being a little shithead. And then as soon as John wakes up, he's like, Holden, oh my God. He just like stands up and runs out of the room. And
he even says like, oh, you're hi, Daddy. And then like books it. I'm like, you waited all this time for him to wake up. And then he did wake up. And you just hit him with the hi, Daddy. And then you book it. So he has to chase you. What a dick. Like every time we see Holden, he gets worse. His mullet gets longer. He gets shittier. Just, I don't know what Alex was on about. This kid kind of sucks, TBH.
Yeah,
could be fair, me.
John too, follows. So,
yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Birds of a feather and all. Yeah. So John chases him down and into the drained pool with the glass caskets, which, reminder, one of them is now an adult-sized glass casket for Alex and Holden, which I don't know how you got that on such short notice. That seems like a pretty bespoke product with like a notable shipping time, I think. Oh well, it doesn't matter because John sees Alex and Holden in the coffin and then immediately is like, well, wake up time, and like pounds on the coffin a couple times, and then he just passes out instantly, which is like not a character trait John's had. He hasn't like, he's
narcolepsy.
Been shown to be a detective who goes to heart like homicide scenes and stuff. Yeah, I was going to think more like he's like a fainting goat where like you run up to him and go like, bah, and he just will like tip over and pass out. Because that's what he fucking does, and right? Like he just slaps on this coffin twice. Then he's like, oh, nighttime.
Yeah, he's not even like the one who gets like startled in this scene. He's he's the one who's like slamming his hands on the coffin, and then he's like, oh no, and then like kind of falls off it and like goes back to sleep. And there's not an explanation for that. Like later, like way later, Alex will tell somebody, I don't even remember, but she'll be like, yeah, I put like sleeping drugs. I gave him sleeping drugs, so he's knocked out. I'm like, but not in that scene, because you're in the coffin and he's not in the coffin. No. So like it wasn't that.
Like, he wakes up and has this huge shot of adrenaline of, oh my God, my son is real, chases him. It's like, you know, running, like getting some cardio in, getting that heart running. And then, yeah, just immediately upon touching the coffin is like, I sleep now. Just falls on the ground.
Also, remember that he is completely blissfully unaware of, like, truly, like, his character is completely unaware of the vampire storyline. His shit has only been ghosts so far. He has no idea about the vampires or like the Countess's deal or like any of that. He only knows James March's ghost, who is like big hater energy towards him, very antagonistic energy between these two. So like he just finds his wife sleeping in a glass box with his son in the basement, and his first reaction, again, he doesn't know they're vampires, is to just start slamming his hands on the glass and screaming at them. Which, like, yeah, man, you don't know they're vampires, so you're kind of just being a dick right now. You're kind of being a dickhead. This is a really weird reaction to be having. Like, yeah, it's weird that your wife's in the basement with your son.
I'd knock first, right? Or, like, just try to open it. Just like, honey, what are you doing here? Are you okay? You know,
but I was going to say, opening would probably be my first thing. Is like, I don't know if they've got, like, good air holes in a casket or not. Because usually you don't put live people in them. So I'd, like, open it up and be like, you good? And then if she was like, we're divorced, I'd be like, all right. And then close the casket again and walk away.
Where I'm at, like, were you ever going to tell me my fucking son was alive, you horrible banshee? Like, what the hell? Like, you know, but
God. Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot how much John gets gaslit in this episode, and that just reminded me. It hard cuts to one of the strangest out of nowhere turn of events that this show has, as if the weird boss baby wasn't enough. Now,
first of all, let me remind you who Tristan is. Tristan is the boy toy model of Lady Gaga's character currently. The hot young stud who didn't play by the rules and was a little truffle pig for cocaine. He's in the show again. Are you excited?
I would like to get ahead of and remind the audience that the first time we see him, he gets in trouble for trying to kiss both a man and a woman while he's walking down the catwalk. And then later, we'll... what's the word that I'm looking for? Proposition a man off of Grindr to come to the hotel, who he will also start having sex with before killing him. And then subsequently, the third episode that he's in, he is trying to fuck Will Drake, another man. I just want to say that because Tristan is going to be so emphatic over the next 20 minutes that he is the straightest man alive, does not like men whatsoever. And I'm like, not only is this next thing that's about to get revealed very confusing because these characters have never spoken to each other before, but also on top of that, one of the only characteristics this show has established about Tristan is that he likes men.
By and large, he's by and large. Yeah, that's most of what he does. Yeah, he's a bisexual and a shithead.
You didn't have to make him kiss like 50 men before this episode. That was your choice. All the times he's kissed men before now could have either not been in the show or could have been a lady. Like, you literally did not have to have it be men. But I guess American Horror Story is like, we like making boys kiss. And it's like, all right, whatever. But now you've made a weird, you've made this character do a weird 180 right, about it.
Fair, but you have narrative problems now.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the desire, but like, relax. The show.
Or like, pick a different character to make kiss boys than the one you want to specifically be straight for some reason. Yeah. So, what we have been dancing around is that we cut immediately to Tristan having sex with, go ahead and roll through the Rolodex of characters you think it might be. I'll give you a second, listener, to think, who would Tristan hypothetically be having sex with that's not Lady Gaga in the hotel? I've already eliminated a lot of people by saying he's very insistent that he's straight. All right, you done thinking? It's Liz Taylor. And they're having sex, a very lengthy, intimate sexual encounter, like the most romantic, quote unquote, sex scene that we've seen out of any characters this season. I guess they are in love. And
they've never spoken on screen before.
Not even one single time. Nor has Tristan really had time to talk to Liz Taylor or vice versa. So it is very confusing.
Nor has Liz Taylor mentioned this in passing while talking to other characters when she was talking about how her life is going and shit. She has never made a passing mention of being in love at all.
Yeah. She's like barely a character until, oh, I mean, we got her backstory and it was good like last episode, but like, you know, before this, it's like she's at the front desk. She's like serving a drink. That's it. You know, that's all we get from her. But now it's like, oh yeah, and I'm in love with this boy, you know, but whatever.
So like, sure. And Liz is giving him a bunch of books and making him like become a more read guy. Sure. And then, yeah, Tristan like makes a big statement about how he's not gay, which like, in this situation, yeah, but like also in the past, you have extremely, you know, like again, as we've stated, like you have been kissing men constantly up till now.
It feels just like so unnecessary too, because you remember like last episode too, there's this thing where the one guy's like, are you gay? I mean, whatever. You're like, I'm not gay, but they like take time to do it again, you know, where it's just like, by the way, remember, this doesn't make him gay because she's a woman. It's like, yeah, I understand how it works.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we're on board for that. Why are we doing this?
I kept thinking that during this too, because I'm like, why are they making Tristan be so insistent he's not gay? He'll have this freak out twice during this episode. And it's like, well, we assume, I'm like, you could have just literally had him say nothing and we'd be like, oh, okay, well, he doesn't seem like he seems super sexually ambiguous. So like, I would have believed that he could have fallen in love with Liz Taylor regardless of her gender presentation. But then they've made him very like staunchly be like, oh, I'm not gay. It's so crazy that I like you. And then having Liz Taylor be like, well, you're not gay because I'm a woman. It's like they wanted us, the audience, they really thought we were just fucking stupid. And they were like, well, we have to make sure that,
I mean,
the audience knows that Tristan doesn't think Liz Taylor is a man. We have to make sure the audience is aware of that.
It's like a plot point, but like, you know what I mean? Like where it's like an episodic show. So it's like we should remind them of what happened the last week. And it's
so,
like, yeah,
I think it's both. This is serving two purposes. First of all, it's like trying to make Tristan empathetic in a weird way, because, you know, what happens later in the episode to Tristan. Mm-hmm. And then also it's to like, I forgot point two, but yeah, it's just like absolutely baffling that they have him push this the entire time because because they need to have, they need to justify his refusal of Will Drake later, which leads to there being more conflict between him and Lady Gaga. Like, this is both to like set up later things, but it just doesn't, it's so weird. Like, it would be one thing if it was like Tristan defending Liz Taylor from somebody in public or whatever, but it's just like a very weird conversation to have immediately after sex, you know?
Right. Especially if they're so madly in love as they are presented to be in this specific scene. But also, like, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm realizing this is not even the first nor second time that they have had a character who is trans or like is not gender conforming in some way, and then had a quote unquote straight man be in love with them. And I say quote unquote straight man because in previous instances they have also not been a straight man. And them having that character explicitly explain like, oh, you're not gay for loving me, and then the other person being like, I'm not gay for loving you. I'm like, this is such a weird thing that they keep making their characters that they have full control over, that they write, do in multiple seasons. Like, why this and the pro-life thing and the everybody has to be a mom thing. It's such a weird set of points, like talking points. They're like, this is all we know how to build a story around. This is the only type of conflict we know how to make a story around, is people want baby. People question sexuality and gender. And men love to gaslight. Those are the three hallmark pillar applications of American Horror Story as a franchise.
They did Glee before this, right?
Yeah, they did Glee before this, yep.
Does Glee have a lot of pregnancy scares? Because that feels like that is, like, the pinnacle of high school drama, right? Is a pregnancy scare? Because that's, like, you know, like, definitely world-changing to a high schooler. Do you think it's, like, they just locked in on it there, and they're like, it's fire no matter where we use it. Like, we can just have it everywhere. Everyone's so afraid of pregnancy.
I don't know. I never saw Glee.
They couldn't fit fictionalizing real life crimes, like in horror, like into the framework of Glee, so they had to create this. And yeah,
I will say the one other show by them that I like don't hate and that I found like at least entertaining, Scream Queens. I don't remember that having a pregnancy arc, but I could be wrong. I could definitely be wrong. Ugh, yeah. So that's the big takeaway, is Liz Taylor and Tristan are in love, obviously. Obviously, audience. They clearly are very madly in love with each other. They've definitely had time to do this.
Much like the contents of Room 33, we all know it.
Yeah.
We all know this.
It's
we
the
all
one
knew
thing
it before
we knew.
The episode started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our like grounding point in this season, is we know two things. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a fucked up evil baby in Room 33 named Bartholomew. Spoiler alert. That's not important. I just wanted to say it. and also that Liz Taylor and Tristan are madly in love with one another. Yeah, those are the two things we know. And so they have that conversation.
As they're finishing, yeah, and as they're finishing, Tristan gets a text from Lady Gaga, and it says, come up, but spelled like a nut, you know, like C-U-M, like come up, come get it. And he immediately is like, oh, all right, sorry, one sec, I gotta go. You know how it is, the lady calls, wild.
It's like wild. They're trying to make her into this like Lady Dracula countess, you know, character that's supposed to be all like sexy, and so she's like, come up like on my tits, get it, Liz? You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't work, you know.
I want to fuck you. Like, it's not anything, man. It's
I was keeping I want to fuck your blood in the bank for another spot, and you got me.
Sorry.
Dry reversal, yeah, oh no. But
yeah. You know, sometimes you accidentally send a text that makes you sound like horny Count Chocula, and it's over, you know?
Yeah. Which, by the way, this
horny,
is like...
horny Count Chocula. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is prompted. The reason she texts Tristan specifically to come up is because she's trying to fuck Will, which, remember, that was like her whole deal because she got Ponzi schemed or whatever, and she wants his money. And Will isn't into it because he is gay. And she's like, hey, I'm sucking your weenie, and you're not like, you don't seem to like it very much. And he's like, well, I did tell you I don't like women, but I like do. I think they're really pretty and stuff.
He's like, I love women. I love looking at them. I love thinking about them and all of that. But my wiener and my brain, they are two beings, as you say. And she's just like, I can fix him. And it's like, no, that's such a bad idea. Stop.
You were so progressive last time with Liz Taylor, you know, and everything. And now it's like, oh, I'll convert this gay over. It's fine, you know.
And then, like, we get the most bizarre conflict, because she does bring Tristan up. And she's like, Tristan, okay, I don't know how to explain it to the listeners, but she's sitting on the bed with Will Drake draped over her lap, butt ass naked. It is so fucking funny. I was crying.
Yeah, he's like tummy down on the bed, like kicking his feet in the air, being like, oh, hello. It's so fucking funny.
Like over her lap. He even has his little hands like tucked under his chin as he's like looking at Tristan as Tristan comes in. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? What is
it's like a bit. Like, they're doing a bit. It's so good.
It definitely it reads so much like a What We Do in the Shadows ass vampire scene. Like, it is so funny the way that they have him like draped across her lap and she's just like, ah, look what I got for you. And Tristan's
he does everything short of just going like teehee. Like, it's one teehee short of the whole banquet, you know?
Yeah, if he had longer hair, he would be twirling it. Like, there's no question he would be twirling his hair if he had like hair to twirl. And Tristan's like, I don't really want this. Which, okay, so what Lady Gaga's about to do is really fucked up, but I will say in her defense, she, like us, has literally only ever seen Tristan kissing men, including the man that is naked, draped across her lap. In fact, that was the last man she saw him trying to fuck. So, like, I could definitely see from her perspective how she would think this was maybe a cool thing to proposition.
Like a slam dunk. Yeah. Really tee one up for your boy. Yeah.
But Tristan's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm not gay. And Lady Gaga's
like, I'm not
like,
gay. Oh my God. Yeah. We've talked about this so many times. I'm clearly not gay. I like kissing men, but I'm not gay. I like, sometimes I have sex with them a little, but I'm not gay. Like, it's so weird.
Even like Will is like, hey, like a week ago, you were literally trying to like bang me, like, what do you mean you're not gay? And Lady Gaga's like, yeah, this is news to me also. Much like the audience, the characters are also in universe like, okay. And then Lady Gaga's well like, oh well, that's not your decision because I own you or whatever. And that's the fucked up part, is she does make him have sex with Will, or at least that's what's assumed. More like, I guess it's weirder to me that Will participated than that Lady Gaga forced Tristan to do it, because like they really start to pivot hard in this specific episode into Lady Gaga being a villain. But like Will isn't. Will's just like a guy who has a lot of money and does fashion.
She's using him, really, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah.
It's strange. It's strange that Will participates, but the implication is that they have sex. Not that it's good. The thing is, none of this matters.
At all.
Yeah, that's true.
All that matters from this scene is that there is now conflict between Lady Gaga and Tristan, and Lady Gaga has some understanding of something being up. That's about it.
Yeah, she's mostly just blindsided by Tristan being like, I'm not gay. Which more stuff will be revealed later. And I don't feel like Tristan having this meltdown will like make the information she's given later make any more sense to her. If anything, it's going to make her more confused when the time comes. But again, it doesn't matter. But I know what you all are thinking. You know who I miss? Alex, everybody's favorite character, anti-vax mom turned vampire doctor Alex, who is also someone who talks to Liz Taylor all the time. We definitely know this, and it's an established characteristic. These two have definitely formed a rapport with one another, and they definitely have dialogue with each other all the time. Hey,
yeah.
Where's Scarlett? because she's not with either of her parents at the hotel. Spoiler alert, I wrote that note before the end of the episode. We will find out where Scarlett is, and the answer is fucking hilarious. The funniest possible answer. Maybe
teleport
second.
To grandma's.
Yeah. No, that would make sense. The real answer is even funnier on Alex's part, but we'll get there eventually, I suppose.
Right. I forgot about
and
that.
Also, John, when John is given this answer later, he'll be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Even though it's the most insane answer she could possibly give, short of I started to live under the bridge as a troll.
A reminder that Scarlett's like, what, like 8 years old, 9 years old?
Yeah,
something
like
that.
At most, like 10, maybe.
Elementary school?
Yeah.
Very much, yeah.
She's definitely not like you leave her at home by herself all the time age. She's not like that level of independent, not even in like probably a dire scenario. So Liz Taylor is just kind of minding her business at the front desk, because I guess her and Alex now like share that job, but also like Iris is still there, so it's confusing why that's the case. Anyway, as she's like, hey Liz Taylor, my son's dad, my ex-husband John, is here, and he's tweaking. He's really tweaking. So I gave him.
He saw us in the vampire chamber.
Yeah,
he saw the vampire chamber. We can't let him know about the vampire chamber, comma for some reason.
He didn't handle it well at all, Taylor. And frankly, he didn't even know we were vampires about it. Like, he had a really bad reaction, and it's not even because of why you would think. He literally just saw us in a glass coffin and had a meltdown. Yeah. Not even the vampire thing.
I drugged him. Mm-hmm. I drugged him and brought him somewhere else. And then Liz Taylor's like, oh, you know what? Yeah. All right. Sounds like we got to clean up. I'll go get a dustpan and a broom. And I'm like, oh, finally, we're going to fucking kill John. All right. About time, man. Down one character. Time to simplify this story on up. No.
Instead, come on.
They have the realization that I did of when they say we got to go get rid of those caskets of being like an adult glass. Glass is one of the heaviest materials. It's like the heaviest part of your car, if you didn't know, is the glass. Hmm. A glass casket for like an adult. I looked it up. Thanks. Now my Google search history is extra cool. It's like 250 to 350 pounds. Like, it is not like a small object. It's very heavy, even without a person in it. And you know what? To their credit, I was like, they're not going to be able to move those in time. That's insane. Well, good news. They don't move them. Instead, they go and destroy them, which is crazy. Because even if... You want to talk about you've been having money problems and now you go destroy $150,000 worth of glass caskets? Oh my God. Like, if I was Lady Gaga, I'd be like, you did what?
Do you have any idea how expensive those were? Those are custom made. What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you know how much it would have been to just... kill your stupid ex-husband? Zero, actually. Like, you know?
They don't just keep a supply of glass child caskets. Are you sick?
It's also very funny that that is, like, literally, like, the split-second decision that Liz Taylor makes, too. It's not even like a, oh, well, maybe we could move them. Oh, no, we're not that kind of vampire. We're not super strong or anything. Oh, well, we could maybe push them into a different room. No. Fucking, we're breaking them. I'm getting the hammer. I'm getting me mallet. And we're breaking them. Like, that was her first course of action immediately. No hesitation was, we have to break one person. One person has seen them. Time to break them. Like, that hasn't happened before. Like, a hotel guest hasn't, like, accidentally meandered in there before. I guess they would just probably kill them. So, hey, maybe,
But, like... going to the pool? Like, you don't think people staying at a hotel would wander to go find the pool? A thing that I have done in multiple hotels over the course of my life?
Oh my God, that is a great point, actually.
Yeah! Like, one of the top three activities is finding where the fucking pool is!
Why would you put them there? That's so insane!
Everyone wants to go to the pool!
The one place they'll always look, of course.
They're breaking a lot of caskets. God. That's the takeaway here, is that every, like, 3 days or so, they're breaking the glass caskets and bringing new ones out for the baby vampires.
Bernie Madoff took the first two-thirds of my wealth, and the last one-third went to custom glass casket manufacturers.
Someone who's good at the economy, help, my hotel is going bankrupt.
Buy less caskets. No.
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 No, I like them.
So, they've now destroyed and moved the caskets, and Alex then wakes up John in his room, and she's stopped dressing like a Dracula. She realized that would probably give away some of the game. So she dresses up like a regular suburb mom and wakes him up, and then is like, hey, you called me here and you were hallucinating something about kids or something. You said there was kids in a casket. I don't know. You okay? I gave you some medicine to, like, make sure you're okay. And he's like, no, I saw there was my boy was here. My boy was here. And I chased him down to the pool. And yeah, so they go down to the pool and there's no coffins. Big reveal. What the? They did it. And yeah, hey, congratulations. The men are getting sexually assaulted and gaslit this season. Great point.
It's about time.
They were like, this will be the progressive season where it'll be the men who get like relentlessly gaslit and not the wife, which is usually the case. It's usually, if this was any other season, it would be Alex getting gaslit, but she's the one doing the gaslighting. Equality win.
They're gonna make John get pregnant.
No!
So
he'd do it too.
Lady Gaga is like hanging out upstairs, walking down the hallway in a very elaborate dress. Like it's one of those things where it's like confusing because even people who wear big decadent dresses and stuff like will still like wear, you know, like a robe when they're at home hanging out and get ready for bed or whatever. You don't like wear a wedding dress, whatever. Goes into the baby's room and then leans over and goes, "Baby, if anyone comes, you get them. I'm going to Paris. I gotta go get $30.
She says the baby like, in attack mode. She's like, "You're on attack mode now. You've been activated."
And spoilers, that's like functionally what happens. Yeah. Like she's like, "I'm activating this baby. If anyone comes in here, you fucking get him. Go ham."
Yeah. We mentioned that she's in like a big fancy, what looks like a wedding dress to go see the baby. It's a different outfit than she was wearing before, obviously, because she was in like lingerie to fuck Will or whatever. But later when she comes to see the baby, she'll be in also another very opulent dress that she wasn't wearing 5 minutes before. So the implication here is that she always like dresses up to see this baby, and she makes a big to-do about going to see that baby when it happens every time this episode. You'd think that if this was such a big hullabaloo that she like gets dressed for and like takes time out of her day for every day, that we maybe would have heard about it by now, or it had been mentioned prior to this exact moment, or maybe she would have even, I don't know, like in passing mentioned to somebody like, "Hey," because like other characters, in case you're wondering, like, does anyone else know? Yeah, they do. In fact, all of her staff knows, and they take care of this baby.
Yeah, it like would be a great thing for someone would ask, "Can I see the Countess or whatever?" And then you would just say, "No, she's visiting the child," and just like leave it at that, you know, like leave it at, there's a mystery. What is that? What's visiting the child? And then when it happens now, this episode, we go, "Oh shit, she's visiting the child."
Sorry, I'm just now having a huge Jimmy Neutron brain blast moment. Like truly, it almost knocked me out of my chair as I realized that now we have established a third hallmark of this television show, which is that most of, if not all of the seasons have like a fucked up evil monster baby that's like hidden away for people to accidentally stumble upon at some point. Like literally all of them have like a fucked up evil monster baby that you might happen upon during your encounter at whatever the state is.
The classic baby in the back row face down. Yeah. you gotta watch out. Like, it could be anywhere.
Why do they think that's like that's not even like a trope in horror, really? Like, why do they think that like that's their bread and butter? Yeah, not just monster baby, but like hidden monster baby that's kept in a room away from everybody else that you might accidentally wander into and encounter the monster baby. Like, why? You know, that's their deal, and I don't know why.
So maybe, okay, so you know how they, like, steal from other horror franchises and then, like, kind of mess them up or, like, do the worst version of it, you know? I wonder if this is supposed to be, like, a Rosemary's Baby thing and then they're just like, the baby was the scary part, right? It's like, not quite, no, you know? I don't know if you saw the movie, but it's, no, not really, you know? It's everything else, but whatever.
Like, a newborn child doesn't weigh a lot. You know, there's only so much. There's this whole concept in baseball of mass equals gas where, you know, like you swing a bigger bat that's got more force behind it, it's going to launch the ball farther because that's just how physics works.
Right.
There's a limit, you know, and a baby like a newborn baby probably weighs less than a baseball bat. So I'm not that worried.
This is why Boss Baby had to rely on his intellect and his business acumen and not his strength, you know?
Yeah. He was a master manipulator. That was his move.
Exactly right.
Oh my God. So yeah, like that's their deal, is that like, because that's the thing, is like now this is her whole like motivation, and like this is only about a halfway point through the episode, but like later everyone is gonna get worked up about this baby, everybody, and this baby's gonna be a reoccurring plot of like, uh-oh, where is it? And then the people that are with it are gonna be like, oh shit, I'm with the monster baby, uh-oh, this sucks. That really seems, because like, I, again, it's a newborn, but it's been a newborn since 1926. So it has to like, just through osmosis, have learned like some shit. I don't think that baby would just be chilling in that crib all the time in the weird dark room.
So this is something I didn't want to get like too into, because it like clearly fucks up everything, is so... The baby and Holden are stuck as a baby or Holden years old, right? We agree? Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And the baby did form inside of her 9 months and 3 weeks, correct?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So vampirism both accelerates the passing of time and bringing you to an age, but also then it stops it?
Sure.
Okay, cool, yeah. No, I just wanted to make sure that didn't make any fucking sense to anyone else. No, okay, cool, just vibe check. Yeah, nope, yeah, nope. It's fucking insane. Like, you would assume it would be a thing of, like, yeah, you become 21 really quick, and then you just hang out at roughly 21 to 27 for, like, 100 years. You know, like, one of those things. But, no, apparently it's like you just get locked, kind of, like, at random. I don't know. It's so nonsense. Like, the baby is such a bad idea. They just should not have had this baby. Like,
I hate to beat a dead horse, but, like, it truly does seem like most of their vampire, like, lore and knowledge came from the hit television movie series Twilight. Because I've never seen... vampire baby hybrid ages faster than any other species except for in Twilight, and so, like has to be where they came up with that, right, of like the fast pregnancy, because that, in case you haven't read Twilight, which I don't blame you, or haven't watched it, that is the whole crux of the third and fourth book, is that Bella, the main character, gets pregnant by a vampire and has to become a vampire because the vampire baby is growing so fast inside of her that it would kill her human body. And then once that baby is born, there is, and I'm not joking, a plot point that the baby, as soon as it's born, is imprinted upon by a grown adult man because he knows that baby will turn 18 in like 5 months, because apparently it's going to age incredibly fast. And it does. She becomes 6 years old within like a month of being born. No other vampire stuff does that, just Twilight. So I have to imagine that's their point of reference.
You know, it's funny because I feel like if I were writing a show, I'd be like, I'm not touching that one. But American Horror Story is just like, we got to steal that from Twilight. You know what I mean?
It's like, that was one of the good parts of Twilight, actually. We're stealing that one. We're stealing that specifically. Yeah.
So
she tells the baby, she's like, hey, little baby. Hey, Bartholomew. I don't even think this is when. This, again, she doesn't say its name. She doesn't say its name till later when she's like, where's Bartholomew? And like, normally I'd be like, why did you wait this long? Because us, the audience, doesn't fucking know who that is. Like, we can use context clues, but like, why are you having her say that now? But she's talking to the baby that we will later find out is named Bartholomew. Hell of a name to give a baby, by the way. Real lengthy name. And she's like, mommy's gotta go to Paris.
Or take the other consideration. The eternal vampire nightmare child is named Bart.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So like, it is, it's like, imagine Lady Gaga walking me like, Bart, Bart, where's Bart? Bart! You know, where's Bart? Where's my son also named Bart?
He's barting around. And like,
fucking Simpsons. It was such a good name until that stupid show.
And because, of course, it's a baby, we know that she's talking to it so that we know, the audience knows, like, what's going on plot-wise, because otherwise, why would they show us this? And she's like, I'm going to Paris tomorrow to get money. And I'm like, that, like, we can kind of suss out maybe what the fuck she's talking about. But, like, we have no solid, like, context. We don't know why she's going to Paris. It can be assumed she's going with Will Drake, but, like, why are they going to Paris? And how is she going to get the money once they're there? What is in Paris, and how is that going to cement her place as his wife, question mark? None of that is answered.
Yeah, is he pretending to not be gay? Because he's like a fashion guy, right? Like, yeah. That's probably like cool. That, like, not like cool, but, you know, like, they're fine with it. It's yeah, not like right. It's not like a whole damn thing, I would guess.
Yeah, it just doesn't explain it. And, like, later, in case you're wondering if, like, we see what happens in Paris, we don't. We just see them coming back from Paris. So, like, whatever she did over there, maybe she gave him the Huck Luck 3000 or something, and she's like, that's my special move that you can only do underneath the Eiffel Tower.
She texted the suck 3000, you see, because she's really good and charming.
And a vampire, yes.
And exactly, so, you know.
And it has a double meaning, because, like, suck like a vampire, but also suck like a penis, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Yeah,
vampires are so good. Sexy.
It is really incredible how they have her played up as this, like, very, like, royalty, you know, very, like, aloof, high class thing, and then the first thing they have her text somebody is, come fill me up, big boy.
Like, C-U-M up.
Yeah. Come nuttin' this. Like, it's so undignified. It's fucking crazy.
My flaps are ready for you, yeah.
My bat wing flaps, because I'm a vampire. Wait,
need
no.
Need you to split these curtains. Like, what are you talking about? Like, holy fuck. Like, an episode ago, you were like, let me get my crystal decanter that I keep my triple filtered Swedish to child blood in. Like, you know, I need the fancy stuff. And then this episode, oh, brother.
God. Yeah. We don't find out what happens in Paris this episode, but you're going to find out some stuff next week when we...
You're gonna find out where Scarlet is and what Scarlet's been up to,
which is maybe the most important information, frankly.
It really begs the question: why is Scarlet in this show at all?
Poor Scarlet.
Oh, holy shit! Well, till next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Oh, jeez.